time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yes, yes. We back.
Word up.
Yeah. 10 days away from the official Summer Madness.
Word
10
up.
Days away. But, you know, we in the swing. We in the, you know, the transition of it all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Chilling. How you doing?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Chilling. I'm in a positive vibe. You know what I'm saying? Feeling good. Shit, trying to keep my head up.
I hear that. That's sometimes it's all you can do. But you sound good. Positive vibes and trying to keep your head up. That sounds like two different moods.
No, I mean, it's work. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't going to start this podcast off with a bunch of, you know what I'm talking about. But but I'm good today, goddammit.
I hear that. Niggas got to summon that energy. Energy!
Yeah, you got to manufacture a good mood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, sure, man. I hear that. Yeah.
Nigga, well, we just start this thing off with the truth. The whole truth.
Nigga, this is theater of the mind. I hear that, man. Same shit. I'm chilling, man. I can't complain. You know, I could, but I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm out here kicking, and I'm actually live from Atlantic City.
Oh,
right. Now. Yeah. Out here in AC. You right know.
A lot of gambling debt out there.
Well, not me. I be dodging all of that shit. I don't do none of it. I damn near don't even see that shit.
Not
it's crazy.
You. But there's somebody out there sitting in that slot like, Lord.
Sick. Trying to figure it out. Trying to figure it out doing math on their fingers.
I ain't even never been to Atlantic City, and it just feel like depressing debt.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in the air. Atlantic City sound, I say, it sound better when you say you're going. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It sounds good in conversation. Yeah, I'm on my way to Atlantic City, man. Me and the lady, we about to go on down there. Go to AC, you know, Atlantic City. And then you pull up and you like, oh, wait a minute. This shit is depression. It is depression. You know, and it's this, the diehards, especially, you know, a lot of cigarettes and oxygen tanks.
Yeah.
Next to the slots.
First time I went to Vegas, I didn't stay on the strip. You know what I'm saying? I stayed like on the old strip. Like, I stayed at the Golden Nugget, my nigga.
And, you know, that's still around?
Yeah, it's still around. They got some type of fresh-ass pool out there. Now, I saw on a TikTok review.
Okay.
So they getting TikTok reviews, so they still around.
TikTok is the new Zagat.
Yeah.
Or Zagat. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Between TikTok and Keith Lee, nigga.
Yeah. So you say you was out there at the Golden Nugget.
So we had the Golden Nugget, and, you know, I'm cutting through the casino. Man, that shit was sick. Because I was in a sick place at that fucking thing. I don't know how long ago. That was shit a long time ago. Because, you know how you know what I'm saying, your money ain't all the way in the right place for the, you know what I'm saying, for the room reservation and the goddamn holding fees and all that shit. So I'm trying to move shit around and try to get my shit together so I could go back and check in. And I'm looking around. This nigga, like you said, with them cigarettes with the long ass ash, head down at the motherfucking slot. You know what I'm saying? One nigga at the phone talking about, you know what I'm saying, trying to cop some pleas and get his shit together because he can't even get home. I'm like, nigga, what the fuck is going on? This ain't the Vegas they sold me on the commercial. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, you know, I got my shit together, and then I shook that energy up off me, you know what I'm saying? And then I think it was the year All-Star was out there. That's when it was, when All-Star was out there. And that wasn't my first time. That was my first time standing on that side of Vegas, now that I think of it. But ain't never stayed in the regular, the old side of Vegas. And I had to shake that energy up off me, man, and get to it. But it turned out cool, you know what I'm saying?
I've only been to Vegas one time, and I got to try it again.
Once?
Only
once?
Only one time in my entire life. I've only been out there, and I went out there for E3. Mm. I went out there for E3 trying to get some clients. I was on it was a sales trip. I was out there at E3. I'm sure I've talked about this before because I remember that Vegas heat being something like I had never experienced before. I'm walking down the strip in a full suit, sweating profusely, just trying to figure this whole thing out. I think I stayed at, I don't know if I stayed at the Wynn. I forget where, the Bellagio. One of them cool little spots. Mm-hmm. I believe I stayed at.
You was on
at.
A sales trip. You stayed good.
Yeah, I stayed pretty good. I ain't going to lie to you. That was cool. I enjoyed a couple moments. I went to the Spearmint Rhino, you know what I mean, to see what that was about. It wasn't terrible. I just wish I'd had a couple more days just where I could leisurely enjoy it. You know, right. I was focused. I was out there trying to hustle up some contacts and build a quota out there. And, sometimes the vibe, like it wasn't outside of that convention center. Everybody else was enjoying life.
Yeah.
And I was crunching numbers like you, but in a different fashion. You know, and when you crunching numbers around high rollers, you could really feel the disparity. Right. You could see where things is at. Like, shit, I gotta figure out how to hit this quota. And I gotta let this suit dry out because I'm looking crazy. But yeah, I wanna check it out again. I wanna go to Vegas. I hear so many people have great, you know, great stories of Vegas. You know, it felt a little bit, if I'm comparing the two, it definitely, you know, again, I was only there for a couple of days, definitely had a more uplifting energy than Atlantic City.
I was just, that's why I compared it to the old side of Vegas. The new side of Vegas, you know, Future bumping in the background. That's when I realized he was a, get money rapper. You know what I'm saying? He just had the sound of money. You know what I'm saying? Because when his shit was out, it played in every casino, every nigga, you know what I'm saying? Everybody was shopping, you know what I'm saying? It was just a good old high rolling time at that time. We was doing the party during the Mayweather Pacquiao fight, and it's a totally different world on the strip. You know what I'm saying? Where niggas is really out here to have a good time and party. Pool parties is all over the place, and I don't know how many motherfuckers in the pool, and I don't know why y'all would want to be in the pool with all them motherfuckers, but God, it was going down.
Speaking of the pool parties, you see this photo that's been going around. It's a pool party, and you know, like most pool parties, motherfuckers don't always get in the pool. It just be along the sides. But the picture is just one girl in the pool by herself, and it's just everybody just along the side of the pool. I thought it was kind of funny. Did you see that shit or
nah? Nah, I ain't seen it, but that makes a little more sense. Shit, at least, you know what I'm saying? It ain't a lot of pissing in the pool when she in there by herself.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hundreds of niggas in the pool, buddy. You know what I'm saying? You might not want to go underwater.
I've never been a pool party cat, though. That's never been my get down at all. Because, one, I can't swim. Two, I noticed that, you know, motherfuckers like to get on some funny shit at the pool. Throw motherfuckers in there, try to push motherfuckers in there. And, you know, you don't want to fight. Especially if you're fighting and you can't swim. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I never felt comfortable at a pool party. Right, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, that ain't never been my thing. You know, it's just like, nah, let me not even set myself up for failure. Let me fall back. I'll hear about it. But it never appealed to me. You a pool
I'm
party
from
cat?
Miami. I'm from Miami, so, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of pool parties going around. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, we was a, you know, community pool ass, you know, crew, you know what I mean? Go sell some bottles, get 50 cent to get in the pool type shit. So, I mean, yeah, I went to a lot of pool parties. You don't usually swim at a pool party. You know what I'm saying? You usually just be fresh and, you know what I'm saying, watch your back so you won't get thrown in or have to fight or shit like that. So, you know, it's you keep your head on the swivel ass type of affair. You know what I mean? Right. Stay by the grill. You know what I'm saying? Type shit. Because it get a little crazy at the pool. Now, niggas want to be jokesters and pranksters. So
you
know what I'm saying? You fair in that assessment, but you got to know how to just stay out the motherfucking way, which ain't always possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, man. I'm cool at all these events where you got to keep your head on a swivel. You know what I'm saying? That shit just is ridiculous. I've grown out of the swivel shit.
Yeah, you know what buddy. I
mean? It's still a default swivel, but I don't want to be in a situation where I know, where you know going to the shit. All right, now, make sure you got your head on the swivel. Like, nigga, I don't want to have that as the introductory, the part of the mission. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'll make that assessment when I get there. But planning for the swivel game, I'm cool. Anyway.
Right. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. But anyway, dog, good to chop it up with you, man. You know,
good to be chopped up with.
There it is, man, out here in the AC. What's going on with you? What's your week been? How you been?
Man, I've been pretty good. You know, it's been, you know, slow motion. I went to, you know, checked out the game, you know what I'm saying? Mavericks and such. You know, it's a lot of Boston fans in the mix, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I'm just saying, there's rooting, like, at the spot where I was at, it's like people rooting for Boston. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of them. And so, you know what I'm saying? And I had to throw in my two cents. So, you know, I ain't rooted for the Boston ever because that crowd look a lot racist. Look at them. You know what I'm saying? Every time they show them, look at them.
Yeah. Right, right, yeah.
You know, it ain't got nothing to do with the players at all. It's just a deep-seated Magic Johnson, Larry Bird rivalry-ass PTSD, you know what I'm saying? Where it's just, you know, even when you watch, what's the name of that damn show? And we ain't talk about it, but I did watch it when I first got out of the hospital. Showtime.
Oh, Winning Time.
Winning Time. They break that shit down, how racist they was, you know what I'm saying?
Then I saw
a clip the other day with some kids asking Luca for an autograph. They Boston fans, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he went over there, signed some autographs, and then he took a selfie with a little motherfucker. And then that little motherfucker looked at his ass. His whole mood changed, and he was like, Celtics and foe. I'm like, damn, these little niggas is mad already. He's just little 9-year-old mad motherfuckers. They're the maddest audience in the goddamn league. So it's hard to root for them. And then when they was doing the fuck Kyrie, there's a video going around. They're like, fuck Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? Chanting it. And you hear a lot of them niggas going off. Nigga! I'm like, damn.
Oh, you hear nigga in the chorus?
Yeah, nigga, it's like 2024, nigga. They like, nigga, fuck Kyrie.
And it's all white people.
Nigga! You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's all white people.
That's crazy. Now, I didn't see that shit. That's vintage shit. Celtic shit there. I didn't know they was, because the thing is, the team is black as hell. You know what I mean? Outside, you know, for the most part, outside of Porzingis was, that first game when they blew the motherfuckers out, I was like, damn, where the fuck Porzingis, man? He wasn't doing shit like that with the Knicks, not to that degree. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? Then they got a comfortable blowout lead. That's when you knew they was blowing it out because they had nothing but white guys on the court. That's when they, you know what I mean? They could really get into their groove. But, yeah, I'm not a Boston fan like that for the same reason, you know, just the historical racism of Boston just in general, you know what I mean? And obviously the rivalry of it all. So it is what it is. But I, you know what I did have to say, and I've always said this, I wouldn't cop it. But I've always thought this. As much as I don't like Boston, I do like their jerseys. I do like, they're very like, I always like, I like money green. I like green, the green and white. It just, the colorway is just fire. It's a traditional, like very straightforward jersey. It hasn't changed over the years much at all. It's just one of them jerseys that's like, oh, that shit, nah, that shit is fire. It's also an indicator often, like that's definitely a, an outfit of a certain type of white guy. You know what I mean? From maybe going as far back as I could recall to like the House of Pain era. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, this is my thing with this whole these finals so far is just, you know, I just want them shits to be competitive. And that first game was a blowout. The second game, I saw most of it, but I missed kind of the second half, so I didn't even see how competitive it was.
It was competitive. They could have got within two.
Oh, okay.
Or three or something like that. They could have got within three.
Okay.
And then, you know, they blocked his shot, but he really fouled them. When they played it back, they're like, yeah, he fouled them. But it's too late after that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I saw that part. Yeah, he pushed him in the back. Yeah, that was crazy.
Push him in the back, hit him on the hand.
Yeah. We'll see, man.
But, you know.
Nigga
is rooting for Kyrie to come out his back, you know what I'm saying, at some point.
Yeah, so. Some revenge. I like the little bit of, I guess, mental warfare that Jason Kidd tried to casually drop. You know what I mean?
What was that?
Saying, yeah. When it was post game interview on the after the first game, and Jason Kidd, they was like, "So what you think about Jalen Brown's performance tonight? Da 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 da, whatever, whatever." And he was like, "I mean, you know, he's their best player, so you expect this type of thing by us and Skip, whatever, whatever." And like, you know, like he just put that in there, you know. So they obviously they gonna run back, ask Tatum, "Yo, Tatum, what you think?" They saying that Jalen the best player. He's like, "You know, we're a team, you know, da 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 da. I don't really give it too much, whatever. People in the comments, you know, comments section niggas love to speculate. I think it got under his skin. And then what made it crazier though was then they asked Drew Holiday. It was like, "Yo, what you think about what, you know, Jason Kidd said about Jalen being the best player?" It was like, "I think he might be right." It's like, damn, nigga, you supposed to be a little bit more diplomatic, but I guess this is how niggas feel. And honestly, it's how a lot of people do feel. A lot of people feel like, you know, at least Jalen Brown got a little bit more heart than Jason Tatum, from what I've heard from real sports fans. You know, obviously, I'm speaking from a casual disposition, so take all my words with a grain of salt. I will tell you one thing though about Jason Tatum that I didn't like. Maybe I saw this other little video. You know, Tatum got his little son that be in the locker room, Deuce, and I don't know who the cat was. Some white guy on the team that's not Porzingis. I don't know his name. Sorry, y'all. But he coming through, you know, in the locker room, coming through. Everybody kind of sitting at their lockers. He coming through giving pounds to everybody. Tap, tap, giving, you know what I mean? Just some morale shit. He get to Deuce. Little, first of all, Deuce about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old, something like that. Deuce sitting there by a locker. And he go to Deuce to get a pound. Deuce look at this man, like, literally look this man up and down. Like, "Yo, I know this man ain't even trying to get a pound from me." And now Tatum sitting right there. Tatum get up, grab Deuce, and walk off, and don't even get a nigga a pound. I said, "Yo, come on, man, that's super foul. That is super foul." Like, he's a player. He's somebody in a jersey that's on the team. Dang. I seen in the comments again. Comment speculators, comments like, "See that nigga? Even Deuce know that nigga got to go." You know what I mean? So maybe he been stinking it up on the court. I wish I knew the guy's name, but I thought that was kind of foul. That I seen a little later on. Deuce denied another cat a pound. I'm like, come on, yo, you gotta check your son. If you're gonna be in the locker room, this is all about morale. This is a team type of situation, man. You know, but
maybe Deuce was just having a hard night, man. You know, Just ready to
Deuce
go.
Deuce ain't play. What Deuce do? Deuce is chilling, man. He got Deuce, the best seat in the house.
Go home, man. He like the little girl on the internet. I want to go home.
I could dig it, but you know, that's what I would figure. The parenting I got would have been like, nigga, go ahead. Hey, get that man a pound. You know what I mean? Or whatever. Say, you know what I mean? Don't be rude type shit. Check, you know what I mean? But he picked up. He's like, come on, Deuce, get out of here. Fuck
Deuce
this
Deuce living
kid.
Rich as fuck in Boston. Mm-hmm. He don't even like you niggas.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. You know, that puts me on a tangent. I don't even want to get too deep into this. But anytime, and I'm not going to speak to anybody in specifically, and no shots at Deuce because I don't really know Deuce. You know what I mean? He's a young kid. But and I'm not going to say any other specific celebrity kids that I see a lot of celebrity kids getting coverage by media that should be focusing on like adults or their parents, you know what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. a lot of celebrity kids been getting a lot of coverage, and a lot of times, and I don't really all the way blame the kid because the kid is still a kid. They haven't, you know what I mean, developed and formed. They only know what they know and what they're exposed to or whatever. But like sometimes these kids be coming across so fucking entitled and insufferable that when I see the motherfuckers on my timeline, I gotta keep going. Like, I'm just like, yo, what the fuck is this? I just, you know what I mean? And I ain't got no kids, so I, you know what I'm saying? I, you know,
like
baby, I'm not gonna put people out there. I just said that because I don't want a war with no young, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the move. But all I know is I see a couple and I'm like, man, what the fuck is this? Again, get this shit out of here. I'll tell you off mic. But I'll be like, yo, what the fuck? Get this shit out of here. And I'm sure, again, I'm not going to indicate or point a finger at any kid, but I don't think I'm alone in some of this sentiment. I think some of these kids, y'all stop covering them. Don't be so thirsty for clicks or whatever. And some of these kids are just, they just like, fucking like bratty ass kids. You know what I'm saying? Just some bratty ass kids. I don't want to see that shit. Anyway. Yeah, man.
They are who they are, man.
That's what it is.
These 24-hour news cycles, boy, need content.
Yeah, but damn, bro, I don't like that. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Because I don't want to hate on a youngster. You know what I'm saying? I don't even like that. I'm like, let me get this shit out of my timeline. Matter of fact, I might unfollow.
Yeah, he might hit the button.
And I don't
saying?
Follow
I don't,
none of that.
I don't
I'm just
like
saying
this.
Yeah, man.
Get that shit out your algorithm.
Yeah. Yo, I'm starting to get very particular about my algorithm as of late, man. Starting to get some pruning going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you know every now and again, you got to get to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Trying to see shit differently, man. But anyway,
at one point, my algorithm had it right for about 7 days.
Damn, that's it, huh? A full week.
And that shit week. Just went left. I'm like, damn.
What you think you happened? Did?
I don't know.
You don't know what you clicked on, what you liked that turned shit left?
Nah, man, it wasn't. I don't think it was a like because it turned left on all, you know what I'm saying? It just gave me a whole different set of motherfuckers. I'm like, these people don't even usually be on my stories and on my, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Popping in my feed up front.
Right.
But now they do.
Right.
So I don't really know what the change was, but something happened. But man, you can't predict it, man. They feeding you what they want you to see. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers think like, yeah, I'm out here learning. I'm out here, you know what I'm saying, doing things my way. But these niggas is just feeding you everything they want you to see. Everything you know, you know what I'm saying? You run into a motherfucker, them motherfuckers know the same thing.
And you know what it is sometimes, too, like, it's just like, you know, particularly, like, media outlets. Not even people, but media outlets or even Instagram accounts that are, like, broad-based. You know what I mean? They might not be traditional media, but they're, like, you know, they serve a purpose. They have a theme to them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's no real finesse in the editorial, you know, like, if there's some finesse in it, it's cool. But if it's just like, I hate that, you know, that everybody, you know, started to use the word agenda too liberally, that you don't even like to say agenda because then you sound like you down with the red pills and all of that. But I just feel like sometimes a lot of that shit be a little too heavy handed. And it's like, all right, bro, we could see you've been sponsored or you looking to be sponsored. This shit don't even feel organic to what you once presented. But so at that point,
it's tough because after a while, you getting the same shit as everybody else. So sometimes you think you doing something new, you saying something new, but you done read 10 things that just came through your algorithm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So news ain't news new. Everybody talk about the same news. You know what I'm saying? You could take a little bit from here and be original and focus on the shit that you know what I'm saying, most people ain't focused on, but you still got that shit from somewhere.
You cobbled it together. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, with, you know, news budgets being cut and, you know, this less investigative research, you know what I'm saying? So on the smaller end, you taking what you can get. You know what I'm saying? On the larger end, you giving them what they take. So it becomes a cycle and it just be regurgitating shit. You know what I'm saying? Same themes, same people. You know, that's why them kids keep popping up. You know what I'm saying? You watched it once. Nigga, since you told me about Kyrie Irving, nigga, earlier in the season, all my feed give me is slow motion Kyrie Irving clips and Anthony Anderson. you know what I'm saying?
Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, I'm sorry. you know, that little, you know, them phonics, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of similar. But it's just weird because I never searched, let me go find Kyrie. But as soon as you said that shit, man. That's all I get now. And you know what I'm saying? It turned his whole legacy from a mad NBA player to, you know what I'm saying, a historic magician on the court.
Yeah. He get this chip. This will be a redemption story. Word. If he don't, because I've already started to see the tide turn again. You know what I'm saying? Like, people back to, you know, their default Kyrie takes. You know what I'm saying? It's not as forgiving as it once was for the last 3 to 4 weeks. Now they'd be like, see, I told your ass. Couldn't trust him. You know, all of that type of shit. Anyway.
But he sure is nice.
Oh, no. Nah, handle is bananas. Crazy. He's a beast. I would like to see him, and I would like to see Luka win a chip because they are out of the two teams. You know, not to super shit on the Celtics again, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't really watch them at all, but I don't want to dismiss them or whatever. But, like, as far as, you know, exciting to watch, I do think Kyrie and Luka a little bit more exciting, you know?
Right. So they just need to wake up. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They almost there. I'm still rooting for them. But speaking of the Celtics gear, right?
Yep.
One of the freshest Lettermans I ever had was a Celtics Letterman. Leather sleeves, gray felt, Celtics across the back, a G3 joint. Mm. I rocked that bitch till, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, let me go ahead and send this off the pasture. You know what I'm saying? And I put it in one of them, you know what I'm saying? My neighbors was doing like a clothing drive, you know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 sending shit to Trinidad or whatever.
Okay.
I think I talked about this shit when it happened.
Nah, but go ahead. What about it, dog?
I pruned, you know what I'm saying? Got rid of some stuff, made a nice bag. Since they was giving it to the people, you know what I'm saying? It was
okay,
gonna be,
here we go.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, okay, I'm gonna give you my good shit, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Nigga.
Yeah, you seen it.
About a month later, nigga. I'm talking about these ain't no kids, man. This man grounder than me. You know what I'm saying? 50 something years old outside washing the car in my Celtics joint, my nigga.
Disrespectful.
I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Wife got on my t-shirt in the backyard cooking. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Then these niggas turn around and open a thrift store in their house.
Oh man, the old Trini Flim Flam.
I mean,
and told you it was going to Trinidad. Not at all. Yeah. Not a barrel at all. None of that shit went out there, man.
And the shit that did go, I come to find out, they opened a little goddamn store out there.
Yeah.
They ain't giving away shit. Niggas was selling. Niggas made a thrift store out of this nigga old shit, man. I had some good shit in there too. Remember remember when Diesel had the sneakers when they first came out with the sneakers?
The little hybrid sneaker shoe looking joints?
They were smoother than they was after the square toe era. So they were smooth. They were like suede, like running kind. Shoes.
Okay, kind. I'd have
but
to
they
see
were smooth. But they were like a little, it was dressy upper. But it wasn't square toe leather. You know what I'm saying?
Got you. I think I know you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a modern running shoe looking joint.
Was it like a little snub nose toe, kind of like a Cortez kind of
Yeah, like
toe
a Cortez.
Box?
Yeah, it was like a Cortez. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Yep, same with the leather and the little fabric. Yep. Yeah, it was like that.
You
them
gave
shoes
that
was fresh
away?
For a little while, but then, you know what I'm saying, the time was up. Gave them. He right. out there walking around in my Diesel shoes and my goddamn Celtics jacket. I was so hot, man. I was so hot.
Yeah, man. You got to give without reservation, though. That's the thing. Which
yeah,
is,
but
which
you
got to
ask without motherfucking scamming.
Be clear, nigga. You told me these was going abroad. I wasn't going to have to see this shit again. Because that'd be the hard part where you do get a shit away and then it's seen that shit repopulate in the community. And you like, wait a minute, nigga. That's my shit. I'll tell you right. some other shit. I'm not even mad at that. But there's been times I call myself, you know, like decluttering or whatever, just trying to get rid of some pieces. And then I find myself wishing I still had a few of them pieces. Like, those were pieces that were instrumental to my architecture. You know what I'm saying? And as you talk about a varsity, I think I do remember the Celtics varsity that you had, but you talk about a good varsity jacket. I seen this cat in my neighborhood, older white dude. He had like a varsity joint. It's like one of them leather varsity joints. It was all leather. Two-tone. The sleeves was different, but it was like all leather. And it was that type of leather jacket that, you know, the patina develops as it goes on and it starts to crackle and shit. And it gets to the next level of where it's on the other side of the crackle. And that shit is nah, but that shit is like it has a lot of integrity. Like, it's just that shit look like, oh nah, that's vintage now. The shit just looks smooth. Like, you know, like it kind of, it's like a crackle cocoon. It come out of the crackle cocoon where it's like, well, what we going with this? It's like dreads forming and then it takes shape. But I was like, yo, that shit there? And it made me think of some shit that I got rid of. I was like, damn, had I had the patience, I could have had an archival piece. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the thing. As you get older, you start to have archival pieces in the collection. That you just tuck away. You don't get rid of it. You just tuck it away. And then later on, you pull it out.
But
yeah, man.
When it's your shit and you bought that bitch new, all that patina and crackle turning the damn this shit raggedy. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to see the patina on your own shit.
Exactly. You know, that's how that's such is life. Such is life. You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. Sometimes you gotta keep a little vision. You gotta keep a little vision, man. Vision is hard to come by.
You gotta have vision.
Vision is some shit that you don't realize until hindsight. A lot of motherfuckers, boy, that vision. Whew, just had an ounce more vision, boy. This hindsight wouldn't feel so bad. Anyway, so that's that, dog. I tell you something, man. Speaking of, and it's not vision or hindsight. Maybe it's just a bumpy transition. I think I can't really call it because I'm not all the way connected. Again, this is casual fan talk. But I'm not even going to call it. I'm going to just share an observation. Yo, gospel rap has come a long way. Man. Come a long way.
Who I heard on gospel rap?
Man.
Not Young Jock. What's the polo nigga in L.A.? In Atlanta?
The Hulu nigga?
Car ain't got no roof.
Oh, Young Dro. Yes. Young Dro
got a gospel record.
He got a mean gospel record. So check this out. Reason I'm saying that, shout out to my man, DJ Sense, Trendsetter Sense. He just launched a new show on the radio on Sundays called Chosen Journey. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's faith-based, you know, it's playing gospel rap. And it's Sense is, you know, he's...
Full-fledged or is this just a show?
Nah, it's full. He's full-fledged. He's in it. I mean, he he's always, yeah, he's in it. He's in it. And you know, he's been kind of in this lane for a while. He's always been, you know, a spiritual dude, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, he's definitely leaning into it more. And it's interesting because, speaking of vision, you know, like, just from knowing him for years, like, his pivot game is pretty consistent. Because I remember he was, like, one of the first cats. I remember when he did the Rhythm and Streets mixtapes. He's one of the first cats with, like, R&B mixtapes. You know what I'm saying? There was a couple mm-hmm. other people, and I know Envy used to do a little something. But, like, in the way, like, it was kind of constructed as, like, a hip-hop mixtape would be. And, you know, he had classics. He did the Chris Brown, Gangsta Grills with Drum, and you know what I mean? And you know, early on with a lot of these other cats. So, you know, it hit me as I was listening to how the show was put together. He was playing a bunch of gospel records, gospel rap records. And, yo, traditionally, I've never rocked with gospel rap. That just was too nutritious. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't for me. It just felt, you know what I mean? It just felt a little like, come on now. Outside of maybe Jesus Walks and you go give a nod to Lecrae for sounding good, but still, like, I'm not going to really listen, but I see it. You know what I mean? Salute. Mm-hmm. But, yo, he was playing joints, and I found myself Shazamming. Cat named Forrest Frank and Caleb Gordon, this cat named 1K Few, I think is that's the record favorite trapper. 1K Few, Zaytoven, and Young Dro. This kid named Bizzle. Well, I feel like I've heard of Bizzle. Got a record called Bussin' with Childlike CC and Childlike CC. Like it's and Lecrae has some records. It's interesting because it still has the format or the, you know, some of the tropes of trap music or not drill music, but like trap music, but just switched around to be more faith based. You know what I'm saying? Which is kind of interesting. It sounds better than it might even sound as far as how it's explained. Because I was like, okay, this shit, all right. This is all right. You know what I mean? Like, this is all right. And then what's so funny is the show is from like 8 to 10. And I guess, like, right around, like, 9:40-something, you know, they went back to their regularly scheduled program, and it, boy, you could see the departure. You know what I'm saying? It was less about the Lord and about these hoes and get this money and I'll kill your ass. Like, all of this other shit. I was like, damn, it was kind of dramatic. But, yeah, man, I just peeped it. I'm going to listen out and see. I'm going to continue to listen to the show, but I'm going to kind of explore some of that to see, you know, if it's a one-time thing or if it's something that I might add to a playlist, you know what I'm saying? Right. But yeah, man, yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, definitely Young Dro got a joint, and, you know, it's a couple other records that was like, okay, shit is all right, man, shit is all right.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's what's up. I mean, I heard the Young Dro record, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, it's real tough, you know what I'm saying? Because the intro of gospel rap, right? Mm-hmm. I have a friend, you know what I'm saying, who he went all the way on church.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was like a church zealot, You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
nigga, if you ain't doing this, you know what I'm saying? You're going to hell and I can't fuck with you type shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and
he would send me all of the new gospel rap that he discovered. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, you know, I peep it out. It's cool, but it just wasn't never in the style or feel that would make you tap in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I actually like gospel music. You know what I'm saying? Some of the black gospel music, like, that shit be rocking. You know what I'm saying? And, right. you know, it has this message. I don't always, you know, hold steadfast to the Christian message per se as Ali Muhammad, but I don't discount it and I don't, you know what I'm saying, forsake it. You know what I'm saying? So I let it be. I grew up in America, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And I ain't grew up in like in the Middle East where everything was just Muslim. So
right. You
have to, you know what I'm saying? You're going to rub elbows with all kinds of religions out here. So I ain't never forsake it. It's just that it just wasn't grooving in the way that the singing stuff be grooving. And then, you know, Lil Craig comes along. He got a couple of pieces, you know what I'm saying? But I ain't never cobbled together a whole playlist of gospel rap, you know what I'm saying? Because on rap, it's more akin to poetry talking, you know what I'm saying? Niggas kind of talking at you when they rapping, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes it gets, like you said, heavy-handed. And it be like, okay, it's hard to keep up because they locked in, you know what I'm saying, to one way of presenting the message or one way of receiving the message. So it's hard to kind of lock in with them and kind of, I don't think it had got to the point where they kind of like, come ride with me and I'm going to show you how, you know what I'm saying, a Christian do it, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
As opposed to, I'm a Christian and, you know what I'm saying, that's that. So I just think in other forms of rap, like in any like in gangster rap or any rap that you ain't really part of that life, there's something about it that they're kind of telling you, well, this is what it is where I'm at and what I'm seeing. It's kind of like essay writing, storytelling, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to like now, so a lot of shit is just, this is who I am. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to get into some of that as well.
Yeah. As finessing the editorial again. You know
right.
what I mean?
Like, so it's like when I was banging rap, my mom, I was younger and my mom was listening to it. She was like, you know, I don't really like that rap. You know what I'm saying? She didn't say nothing against it. She was just like, you know, it ain't for me. And I'm like, why? Because everything is I. You know what I'm saying? I. Ever since she said it, I couldn't ignore it. You know what I'm saying? But then there's some rappers that are more well-rounded and tell that shit in a whole nother kind of way. And even if they're using I, it's a story tool. You know what I'm saying? Like when Ice Cube was writing NWA shit, first thing I noticed about Ice Cube raps was I'm like, this nigga just, he fresh out of English class. Because we just learned that shit last week. You know what I'm saying? That technique. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the nigga storytelling techniques was like fresh out of English class.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So even when he was using his a little something like it about a nigga like me, you knew he wasn't talking about himself. You know what I'm saying? You knew he was using it as a storytelling device. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
I get it. That's what's up. I get that shit. That is true. Yeah. That is true. Sometimes that's an interesting observation. Now I'm gonna have to listen back. It is a lot of I in this in some of these raps. Yeah. Oh man. What was I gonna say? I feel like it's, you know what? I wanna bring up something before we get into, you know, what we've been watching. But I'm on YouTube a lot. And it's just a passing thought.
Mm-hmm.
But on YouTube, you know, a lot of the times, one of the things that I like, you know, the Criterion Collection. You heard of the Criterion Collection. You familiar, mm-hmm. right? So they got this thing called the Criterion Closet. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So it's basically just all of the films that they got on DVD and Blu-ray just at to pick at your whim. You know, like sometimes you go to like a label or like a clothing company and they take you to the little, either to the cage or to the back room where they got all of the shit. You could just go ahead, grab what you want. And it's just like overwhelming. It's amazing. So they got the Criterion Collection, all of their shit, their whole catalog damn near. And they do like these interviews, you know what I'm saying, where the people, they pick up various movies and they tell you why they selected this movie and, so, you know, suggest these movies or whatever. And what I always liked about the Criterion Collection is just how seriously they take film, you know, like, and, you know, when you do get a Criterion Collection DVD or Blu-ray or whatever, all of the additional, you know, add-ons, whether it's behind-the-scenes stuff or just whatever, script, all of that type of shit. But it had me thinking, and one I just saw, I was reading an article on the Criterion Collection because, you know, they also have the Criterion Channel, and I guess a few years ago it was revealed that, you know, out of the thousands of Criterion Collection titles at this time, this might have been 4 or 5 years ago, there were only 4 titles by black filmmakers. You know what I mean? I know one of them had to be Spike Lee because I got the Criterion Collection to Do the Right Thing. And I know they just as of recently put out, what's it, Gina Price Braithwaite? I forget, you know, Loving Basketball, the director. By I know because they had her on there. But like, I was like, damn, you know, I always kind of, I don't know, I had that kind of thought in the back of my mind. And, you know, we talk about film quite a bit. And anything that I see people, like, talking passionately about makes me more interested in it. And one of those things is film, right? And I was having a conversation about Blassics, you know, black film, black classics, black film classics a while back. And, you know, I was thinking about it, trying to pull up some and suggest some or whatever. And, you know, you often see the meme of what black movies have you seen, blah, blah, blah. And sometimes I think that, you know, like, okay, two things. One, I think that similar to rap early on, like in the early 80s or whatever, I felt like I could damn near name every rapper in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's LL, that's Run DMC. Like, I can name them all. I can list them all. there was a time when I felt like, damn, I could list damn near every black movie. Damn near. But obviously, probably not. But damn near. You know? But I say all that shit to say, I wish there was some type of Criterion Collection-esque type of platform dedicated to black cinema. You know, and I say cinema, you know, deliberately, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I think sometimes we can dismiss a lot of our shit as just, oh, yeah, that's a hood movie or that's a hood class. Like, we've talked about this shit before. Like, they are hood classics and they're classics. Like, when I hear these people talking about some of these movies in these fucking Criterion Collection, it's all subjective. At the end of the day, it's art. You know, there's times that I've heard somebody speak passionately about a movie. I'm like, let me watch that shit. And it's, some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Or not even some bullshit, but it's just not for me. I don't want to call it some bullshit, but I'm just like, come on now. Damn, that's what, I think the description was better than the movie. But I feel like there should be, because I know for sure there's a lot of black films that even I haven't seen. And I think as generationally, you know, like I saw this Elvis Mitchell thing a while back. He put out a documentary. I forgot. I think it's called Is It Black Enough For You? It was on Netflix, and he kind of goes through the history of black film or whatever. But it's just like, I wish there was more of that, because I think that conversation needs to be had, because that's how you maintain a legacy and that's how you uplift and even create more opportunity for black film in the future. By celebrating the past and the present. It was, you know, I just had that thought because I've been, you know, watching a bunch of these Criterion Closet videos, and I'm like, damn, I wish there was some people talking about black movies like that. That's it. That's my thought, you know.
Why don't you do it?
I mean, I knew that kind of shit. I thought about that. Be the change you want to see. I don't know. Maybe I will. Or maybe I will do that with some other people. You know what I'm saying? Like people, I don't want to be the motherfucker every week. You know what I'm saying? But like maybe it's a situation where we talk about your favorite black movie. You know what I'm saying? Like whomever, you ask somebody, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, and there's been people that have done it some, you know, on a certain level. You know what I'm saying? There's podcasts out there that are doing it. And, you know, I remember back in the days, W. Kamal Bell, and I forget his partner's name, but they had a Denzel Washington movie podcast or whatever. But, yeah, no, that's just something that is, you know, shit. Maybe I will do it. Maybe. You know, me and accountability. I don't know about all of that shit. It's a lot on my plate. I'm trying to platform me. But maybe. I'm not going to. You know, I'm not gonna commit to nothing right this moment, but I just wanted to bring it up. Like I used to. So I'm saying, nigga, why don't you do it? We'll see. Well, what you think beyond that? How you feel about that?
I mean, it's we niggas do it all the time, B. You know what I'm saying? Like niggas will have a film conversation all the time. Now, right. In depth. You know what I'm saying? My middle son, is at University of Chicago. He just got an internship reviewing movies. That's what he liked to do. He liked to
that's dope.
Pontificate on the movies. You know what I'm saying? He had some that was black, but you know what I'm saying? A lot of them white. But there are people like that really revere the art, that would love to be a part of that conversation, no pun intended. Right. So I think it's dope because, one, it also lets the community know, the community at large know, that these movies aren't just going and being shot and then just that's it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's people that do care, just like people care about some of this other shit. You know what I'm saying? And people make more of it when people care. So the more noise we can make, the more chance shit gets made, even though shit is getting made now, is different platforms popping up, is, you know, niggas is really trying to do it, you know what I mean? But, you know, you got to platform it. And if you see a hole in the platforming, it's a spot to step on. You know what I'm saying? It's a square to stand on. And I don't think it would not be appreciated. I think people would appreciate the fuck out of it, especially if it's done cool and you doing cinema, you doing cinematic shorts, you doing, you know what I'm saying? It's people sitting around, man, that done raised this money, done borrowed money from their family and their friends and strangers, they done scammed, you know what I'm saying? Did all kind of shit to make some movies. And that shit sitting on their hard drive, man. You know what I'm saying? Just sitting there, you know what I'm saying, waiting on something. You know what I mean? Might have sent it to a few film festivals and then it dies sometimes. And some people take it all away. But if there's more platforms to platform this content, then it'll be more people. It'll be people that's very willing to participate in that shit with you.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Dreams came to die.
Nah. On to the next. Don't do that. Nah, that shit is real. You know. Curious. What was one of your son's favorite movies that he's reviewed recently?
Well, he just started on Monday.
What? Okay. So what's one of the joints that he's?
I don't know what
about.
He reviewed on Monday. Shit. I just know he wrote a piece on it maybe a couple years ago. That talked about the black classic movies.
Yeah, I remember we talked about a little bit of that.
Yeah,
here.
So that's what I was referencing. That one.
Okay.
Not anything new.
Okay, that's what's up. Salute though. Shit. Speaking of black classics, Power, Book 2, Ghost is back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah man. Yeah, it's back. It's a little, I mean, it's controversy around the first week, though. I hate to, you know.
Why you say that? So
well, you know, it's this whole shit with Tariq, Michael Rainey.
Oh, Tariq out here getting felt up and yeah, abused. Yeah, man. Yeah, assaulted, rather.
Yeah, assaulted. Yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, it's just fucked up. You know, it's a tough conversation to have on a certain level because I've seen some people having it, but it's just like it's just uncomfortable for everybody. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And it's just like, I think there's a different reception and even even a different slant in reporting, like when something mm-hmm. like this happens to a dude. You know what I mean?
Right. It's definitely different reporting. I think in this day and age, I think people find it difficult to reconcile these types of disbehavior on both sides, right? And because on one side it gained a movement, you know what I'm saying? It's been happening over millennia that, you know what I'm saying, these things are happening and going to the wayside. You know what I'm saying? It's just like people need to talk about cinema. It was a need for people to talk about this type of assault, right? When it was happening to women, you know what I'm saying, people are used to having that conversation. When it's happening to men, you know what I'm saying, the conversation switches because people are used to having another kind of conversation when it comes to men and these types of activities. You know what I'm saying? People will say he could have defended himself, you know what I mean? But, you know, look to me that he was in shock, you know what I'm saying, in a certain kind of way where, you know, he didn't know what to do. He was just stuck. And, mm-hmm. you know, they say he got up out of there, but he was stuck. He didn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what was going on in his mind. I know his eyes was bugged out. And, you know what I'm saying? I don't think nobody even knew it was happening. Even though it was happening on camera, people standing yeah. around him didn't know. You know what I'm saying? She just rolled up in there. And I think another thing on this one is that nobody knows who she is. She's just like a regular person, like a citizen that, you know, saying in somebody's streaming house. You know, everybody got a camera now. Everybody's streaming. So the conversation, it's like one of them things that starts here. You know what I'm saying? It's not a fully formed conversation yet. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, taken with the same light or the same energy as the opposite. But right now, it's the start of a conversation. I don't know how far it will go. I don't know how egregious it went, but it is a start of a conversation that is difficult for people to have in this day and age because, you know, people worry about being canceled, people worry about saying the wrong thing, you know what I'm saying? He worry about, you know, how it's going to look for his occupation and shit. He thinking about if it happened the other way, what would have happened, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. It's just, you know, it's some crazy shit. You know what I mean? It's caught out there like that, you know? Like, you could see it, like you said, you could see this, you know, the shit, the moment where it's like, oh, shit. Like, you could see them also, like, processing this shit, like, oh, this shit's mm-hmm. crazy. And then not even knowing how to move in that moment, like, look, we'll talk about this in a second, you know, this has just caught me out the blue, you know, I don't want to say a super chaotic environment, but there's a lot going on, you know what I mean? It's like just all this random, just a random setting, like you said, everybody could stream at anybody's house, you know, I've seen, the cat Talil streams before, actually. I've seen a couple of them. I came across them on YouTube or whatever. And it's always like just some random shit. Sometimes Pops is on there. Sometimes Mom's on there. It's just, you know, just what it is. Whoever's hanging out at that time. And it was a moment where it was just like somebody went too far, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, you know.
Well, you know what it is, man. Shit, you know. It has happened, you know what I'm saying? I've been in that situation.
Everybody been in that situation. And it's a wild situation to be in. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be no sucker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then you getting judged. You know, your manhood is being judged. You know what I'm saying? You like, nigga, this person trying to get with you, nigga. And you be like, right. Nigga, that ain't what I want. Shit. And then, you know what I'm saying? Especially when you young, niggas be like, man, anything will do, nigga.
Right.
You be like, nah, no, sir.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But the expectation as a man was
be on go.
Deal with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stand your ground. You know what I'm saying? At the verse end, checker. You know what I'm saying? On the soft end, like, nah, nigga, you know what I'm saying? Shit, you'll be all
right. Right. Yeah. That's crazy. That's a wild situation. It's a wild situation. Yeah, man. You just like, damn. Oh, right. Man. Anyway, man.
Well, it's a big rich town, man.
There it is, man. They you know, I forget the line. They all say, I can't, you threw me. This is a big rich town. I can't even think of the next one. I just
came from the poorest part.
The poorest part. Yeah, man. The poorest part. Yeah.
The OG power. The OG power.
Yeah. You know, it's something, you know, we've said this shit before again and again, man. 50 done came, he done created a cinematic universe, you know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, certain songs, you know, when that power theme come on, you like, oh, shit, we here, we back, you know what I'm saying? Like, we done left BMF in that theme. You know what I'm saying? I can't remember the BMF there. That was my shit, too. I can't remember that. Anthony Hamilton. What do you say?
I can't remember the words. I hear it, though. I hear it.
I know it. I know the
sound like one of them AI old school hooks.
Oh, the Champagne Poppy, Motown Poppy.
Yeah,
yeah, man.
Like
it definitely
that.
Got some gut bucket soul to it. I can't believe that I can't remember it when I just hear that shit week after week after week. Now,
I be skipping it now. I let the OG power rock because I was so used to it. It was such a good feeling. You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind it as much. The other ones, it'd be like, man, come on, let's get to it.
Yeah, man. So we back. And just like, you know, the cinematic universe, each of these properties has their own tone. You know, Raising Kanan has a tone. BMF has a tone. Power Ghost has a tone. Power had a tone. Force got a tone. So we back to soap opera ass Ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
sir.
You know, we already seen Martin Luther Meech, who seems to have everything figured out. We forgot Tariq is the champ of that. You know what I'm saying? This motherfucker.
That nigga be figuring out in the moment, man, under duress.
On the fly. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. So, and it's so, look, man, I don't know, maybe my fucking memory is terrible, man. Hopefully I might need to get me some ginkgo biloba. But I really be appreciative of those little season recaps, because I totally forgot all of the shit that happened last season.
Man.
So when they set everything up, I was like, oh, okay, right.
My dumb ass skipped the season recap.
Oh, so you going in there blind.
I'm like, Brennan had a sister?
Right. What happened to Monet? Yeah.
Damn, Monet got shot?
Right. When did
Damn.
This happen? Yeah. So
I was in the cold when I started, but you know, it come back together. It ain't that hard.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. You'll put some context clues together. So we come back. Monet is in a coma. She been shot by there was a hit. I wanna say the hit was engineered by Diane and what's
Drew.
My man's name?
Drew.
And Drew. Drew, but Drew wasn't around. I know it was Diane. I forget who was in. I know Tariq was the shooter. Where
was
Diane?
Was Tariq
the
shooter? So why he kept saying, I'm going to tell Monet what y'all did?
Because they set him up. They set it up. I think. I forget exactly how it went. And maybe I got to look at the recap again. Either way, Drew and Diane was in cahoots to get rid of Monet.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I believe they used Tariq, you know, had him play a part in that. Monet got shot up, but you know she didn't die. She's in a coma, you know. And
Monet in purgatory right now.
She in purgatory for sure. Her purgatory looked like a fucking, witness questioning room.
Yeah, interrogation room.
Interrogation room. So
all her old partners, all everybody coming to see her.
Right.
The interrogation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Talk about nigga, you know you ain't shit. You know what I'm saying? That's the worst type of purgatory to be in, is the purgatory where they just don't even fucking, they not even rooting for you. They not even character witnesses. They like, look, man.
They like, we can't wait. Mm-hmm. Get you on
it's
the
It's warm
side.
Down here. Yeah.
She like, I'd be damned if I spend hell with you motherfuckers.
Right, right.
It ain't my day. I ain't dying today.
So she laid up in a coma. And,
well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, she actually caught the flatline, you know what I'm saying, while she was talking to her exes, you know what I'm saying? And then they switched to another scene, but, you know, she definitely was proclaiming that she wasn't dying today.
Right.
And, right. You know, then the word came down later in the episode that she in a coma and, you know what I'm saying, ultimately, you know what I'm saying, came back to the other side.
Yeah. Came on back with the same disdain that she had when she was alive. Right. Look at y'all.
Who did
it's good
this?
To see y'all, but she, yeah, I need to know. But
find out. I don't know how you talking out of a coma.
Right, but talking fluently, cool.
Nigga go to sleep and the phone ring, nigga be like, hello.
right, exactly. Exactly. She came through like she had a fucking hot tea. She came through smooth, like a vocalist.
No hateration in the dancery, niggas.
Not
what?
At all. None. So, boom. So, all right. So, we open up with Monet. She's still in the hospital. We're starting to set the table for everything. We know that, what do they call it? Noma? What's the woman's name? And the henchman, the woman and the dude?
I think her name is Noma, and, you know, the African. I don't know his name.
Yeah, the other cat.
I just know the Africans opened up the whole season just killing niggas. Pow, pow.
This season or last season?
Well, shit. Don't get me to lie. Skip that part.
All right, well,
go ahead.
Yeah. So, boom. So because
I did have a mishap. I pressed play and watched about 10 minutes of last episode. They got me, dog. I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen this before. But it wasn't about 10 minutes in before I figured it out. So don't get me right. A line, my nigga.
Niggas is getting redundant. So, boom. So then we open up with them. She barking on them. She mad, you know. I forget why she's mad. You know,
who?
I'm going to be honest with you. Noma.
Noma mad because they killed what's Monet nigga that she killed? That was her plug. That was the nigga who did all the on the ground shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
they killed
right,
him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. That's how Tyreek now ended in the picture. Cause she like, we about to kill y'all about that shit. And they were like, nah, we could move that. We could move more than him. You know what I'm saying? And then they took over the penthouse. Remember they, you know what I'm saying? And they got it popping. But, you know, it's a beef now. It's just some kind of beef. I don't remember the outcome of last season, but, you know.
Yo, I swear I watched this shit. Yeah, I think by next week I'm going to tighten up because I watched it a couple days ago. I watched it on the laptop screen, so maybe I wasn't as immersed.
I watched it just now, but you know what I'm saying? You asking questions that need some detailed analyzation.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And I'm just thinking, I'm just listening for the listener. And I know the listener's like, does these niggas watch this shit? I swear, I feel like I'm giving a book report on a book that I didn't read, but I swear I watched the whole shit. I just know that I had to make a tonal adjustment. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just a different tone. And it's just like, okay, we back in this land. You know what I mean? So what I do recall, you know, Dre and Diane scheming, Effie playing both sides again, texting Tariq, yo, they trying to kill you. Be safe. Meanwhile, I'm with the person that's trying to kill you. It's like, all right, here we go.
That's coming back to haunt everybody in the end.
Of course. Can't play both sides. Davis out here menaging in the shower with two joints. You know what I'm saying? I guess he don't work for nobody no more. I don't even remember what I know.
Yeah, he got caught up in the sack shit. You know what I'm saying? His brother Sachs killed Sachs. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's some evidence with that little police file. you know what I mean, of how his brother took the rap for him and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's a murder, so you know that shit don't never go away. That's gonna always haunt him. And so, you know what I'm saying, he got caught up in that thing after Sax got killed. So he's on the sideline right now and can't be an attorney, so he takes it all out on shit, fuck it. I'm done. Let's have a Minaj. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Then Tyreek called his ass. You know what I'm saying? That nigga was like, hey, man, be safe, little brother. Right. I can't help you.
You on your own, Pop. I don't even work. I'm chilling right now.
Right.
So nigga, that's
I got some business to handle.
Right. I'm cooling right now. I'm doing my thing. You do your thing.
They really leaning into the Method Man sex symbol era.
Yeah, they trying, you know, shit, they trying to keep the ladies there, so that's going.
Who the fuck thought that, you know what I'm saying? What's his name on there?
Davis.
Who the fuck thought Davis would have a sex scene in the first season of him being on there?
I don't even remember the first season of him.
Just an old lawyer with a bad suit.
But I feel like on Power, everybody going to have a sex scene. Just about. Damn near. Okay.
He was off the charts for the shit. He wasn't in the books for that.
Sax was fucking. You know what I'm saying? Like everybody is fucking.
I think that shit was just a response to, you know what I'm saying? His internet era right now.
Of course. Yeah, you gotta feed the people. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he on fire. So that's what you wanted to say. That's what it is. Like, all right, yo, this is take it.
All right, B. Come on, man. Yeah. That's the lawyer. Come on, let's keep it going. Damn.
Like, yeah, nigga. It's not
critical to the story.
Right. Why are you not in the office? So boom. So there's that. So he out there, you know what I mean, menaging and kind of ducking calls. Then who else we catching up with? Angela's nephew trying to avenge her life, I guess.
Yeah.
He get popped immediately. Yeah. I didn't think they was going to get rid of him that soon, to be totally honest with you. I thought they was going to try to stretch that whole Angela's nephew wants revenge type of angle. But
they going to keep that shit going. They came with the same old trope that they usually do. You know what I'm saying? The office is done with the case. And then you got to go over this. I mean, Angela did it. Sax did it. The nephew doing it. What's the Blanca did it? I mean, it's the same old trope. It's the way to keep the season going.
Basically. And then we see how it all ends at the end because it looks like Michael Ealy is now, I'm assuming, some type of vigilante detective who's here to avenge. Now, who's Denise?
Who's
is that Cotty Dodd? Is that Cotty Dodd?
I have no idea, dog. I'm like, man, what the fuck they talking about?
Michael Ealy, the cat at the very end when he
I know Michael Ealy, but I didn't know who the woman was he was talking about.
I don't know. Again, man, I told you I'll do my due diligence by next week. I think maybe Denise is not Cotty Dodd, but he said, yo, they killed Denise. I'm almost positive they said they killed Denise. And I'm trying not to wild out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to be good. You know, as soon as he walk up out of the confessional, they pull up on him with bad news. How they knew he was at the confessional is crazy to me, but that's how Power work. They pull up right what do you call the joint there? The sanctuary or whatever. They pull right outside. Man. Yo, shit crazy. We need you. I know. Man. Damn it. Yeah.
Speaking of the power transportation, time transportation modes.
Uh-huh.
Now, all that fast getting to Queens on foot and, you know what I'm saying, just appearing in these random locales upstate at the other school and shit, I don't know. These niggas, when they went to, they was going to attack Norma's daughter, you know what I'm saying, to kind of, instead of being attacked, they was going to go on the offensive. That's one thing about Tariq, the way they write him. He never going to take the slick way out. He gonna go at that shit. Even though he lying and all that shit, he gonna attack the attacker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he gonna strike a deal with their ass before it's over. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they went out to attack the daughter and shit. And then, you know, that all went down.
Commando and their way through the whole shit.
Killed everybody and missed and still let her get away. But the part that I wanted to get to was once Kane was looking for the ass and found him, right? That nigga go right there. Them niggas was running so fucking slow. I'm like, how the fuck is this the power universe? And these niggas moving like molasses. Everybody running. Tariq running slow. Kane running slow.
Right.
By the time Kane caught up with them, he was already done told his story to the police. And they come walking in.
This nigga doing a press conference.
Yeah. I'm like, what kind of slow shit is this? Power used to be snappy.
Yeah, and then Tariq talking all of this, yo, I had to kill a man, you know, because this happened. I grabbed the gun, He telling the cops and the media that, and then walks off. Nobody went no further. You know, come on now, what's going on here? He just gets to go on.
This nigga attached about 4 or 5 bodies at that school.
Right.
First of all, a nigga attached to one body going home. Nigga, you can't even sneak in the girl's dorm, you going home.
Yeah,
this nigga just got bodies on bodies.
Yeah, man. So yeah, so like I said, gotta get used to the tone of it all. You know, your certain level of disbelief, you gotta kind of numb that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
What else are we forgetting? So
no,
I mean,
oh shit, we okay. You know what I'm saying? Monet in Purgatory, Drew out here. You know what I'm saying? Trying to ransom off Brendan's sister, who I forgot he had, that went to the school with them. And she ends up hitting this nigga with the goddamn mace and getting up out of there. This old killing ass nigga couldn't even keep the little girl in the car. So she ended up breaking out. Then here come Brendan next to the rescue. They pulling in. He scoop her up. You know what I'm saying? Then here come Drew. Driving into the spot, you know what I'm saying? Locate him, pull out his pistol, and then Tariq out of nowhere in a Ford pickup from the 70s. I don't know where he got it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he was in it, and he crashed him out. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Right. but just enough not to kill him. Just nobody got hurt, not too much, but just enough to defuse the situation. Yeah.
But all them bullets and all that shit, somebody was supposed to die, but okay.
Right, right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Drew got up there out of there limping and shit. He been limping the whole episode. Kane been shot. He been limping the whole episode. But he still managed to go to Brennan's house and beat his brother up. And you know what I'm saying? And then old Effie clear as day a goddamn mole. Cause she trying to stop it. He done already done went in their house and put hands on the people. She like, man, it ain't worth it. Calling them by name in the crime scene. You know what I'm saying?
Kane, stop
it. Like, nigga, we doing crime.
right. But Kane did not, I felt like that, but also Kane did not hide his face. And this ain't the first encounter that Kane has had with this family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they should know who he is. They should know not to open the door. First of all, this nigga don't come with nothing but pistol whipping and bad intentions. I mean, it's not friendly company, Pop. What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah, man.
So
that was that. He pistol whipped that nigga like a black mother.
Right.
Didn't I tell you?
Well, you see who his mama is.
Yeah,
she got hate racing in the dance arena.
Absolutely.
So Brendan finally get his sister home. She, you know what I'm saying? She wailing. I mean, she got her eyes full of tears and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan daddy like, yeah, good to have you home, baby. But Brendan, you got to get the fuck up out of here, man. You can't come back here. They done turned you into a motherfucking jungle bunny out this motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Beat the racism.
Bunny, that's an old one. Nigga pulled out an old trope.
Beat the old racism out of his body. Exercise some old vintage racism. I've been waiting to call this nigga a jungle bunny.
Fucking
and they did it smoking.
They did it so slick that he was calling a white boy a jungle bunny.
Yeah.
It's hard to be mad, but it'd be like, wait a minute. That's racist.
He got it. He wanted to pull up nigga lover, but they was like, oh, Lord, now, wait a minute. We'll use that for the mid season, mid finale.
Well, I forget where this shit fell in, but it was one moment where Tyreek and Brennan was contemplating life after he got kicked out the family. And and he was, you know what I'm saying, he was playing all this pretending in goddamn alternate realities and shit. What if we were just students? Nigga, that shit been sailed, man.
It's over.
That shit been over. The first package you sold, that was over.
First murder you had, you know what I mean? First body you caught. Yeah, that's a long ways away.
That is over, nigga. You are never going back to that, being regular.
College Joe. Yeah, chill.
We done forgot the fact that all you was supposed to do is fucking graduate to get your bread.
Right. Right.
But then what happened with didn't the daddy come back and tell him he wasn't getting shit? I forgot how that went. Maybe that was a dream.
I know the pops sent him a letter when he was in jail. It was like, nigga, you ain't. I always knew you was going to wind up in jail.
Right.
Which is
you ain't
going to
never be shit.
Right, right. That shit is crazy. That's the fucking the custodian of petty. That was whoever's job it was. Now you just sit on this letter until that nigga go to jail, and then I need you to Federal Express it to the precinct.
Right.
So he could read that shit behind bars.
All this nigga had to do was graduate, man. He could have went to summer school and got that shit done in 3 years.
Could have bended that. But then also, what happened to the trust? Because what was my man named Sanford or whatever, the white guy? And isn't he dead? And then
when they invested the shit into some other bullshit.
Yes.
The brother.
Yes. I forget. No,
it was Brennan's uncle. Brennan's uncle.
Invested all of Tariq's money?
Yeah, Tariq money, Monet money, a whole bunch of shit.
But now I get that. I kind of remember that. I do remember that. But I guess maybe this was beforehand. Whatever happened to, what was my man's name? Stanford? The white guy that created
Truth
with
I don't remember what happened with him. You know,
he got killed
because
then he had a, yeah, I don't know if he's dead or he got killed. I mean, or is he still alive? Because I know he also was dating the young dude. I think he got killed. I forget. All I'm saying is,
you know, Tariq settled them problems.
Yeah, I guess that, you know, that is, who am I to look back on some old problems? But I just want to know who is holding on to the trust. Did the trust ever, like, is the trust still
it's supposed
in trust
to,
or is it out in the world?
He's supposed to graduate. I don't know who got it. The lawyer, a man from Cosby Show.
Right. What's my man's name from the Cosby Show again, dog? I forgot my man, but yeah, 51 saved the day.
Man went from Trader Joe's to nigga, you know what I'm saying? Shit, Power Universe shit. Yeah. By the end of the season, that nigga gonna have a threesome.
Yeah.
You'll be like, yeah, everybody have one. You'll be like, that nigga was not in the cards to get a fucking threesome, man.
Yo, man, this shit crazy, dog. Oh, man. But he like one of the few cats that hasn't had a sex scene. I'm trying to tell you, if you work on Power, you might wind up doing something. There's, for the most part, every character is going to, they going to smash something. Every character. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's a very short list of people that's been on Power that ain't never had a sex scene. That's just part of the universe.
Burp.
You know. I don't really, I mean, I guess we back. You know what I'm saying? I don't really remember much of a big plot point. I felt like this was a setup episode. Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, so the Michael Ealy character, we're gonna find out who he's here to
Tyreek.
To No, we know he going for Tariq or whatever, but I'm saying I got to figure out who Denise is. Let us know in the comments who Denise is. Is it Caridad? They had old goofy-ass, what's my man's name in Purgatory too? What was my man's name? My man used to play ball. What's my man's name? Oh, shit. What was his name?
I forget that nigga's name.
Auntie.
Man.
I was upset,
oh,
buddy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, forgetting so many characters. You're like, oh, look at this. I forgot all about this
nigga
guy.
Say Auntie.
Zeke. Zeke came back. Zeke. Yeah,
oh,
man.
Boy.
Shit. I thought, and I was trying to, because it took me a couple days to get to the episode. I was dodging it. There's been some hints or some rumors or some speculation that old Ghost might actually reappear. So maybe. For a hot second, when all of them people was coming back from the dead, I was like, did Monet know ghosts? Like, I'm like, is this how ghosts gonna come back on in the spiritual realm? I don't particularly need ghosts to come back. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's something crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, who knows? It's the first episode. Like I said, it's a setup episode. But as always, we at the beginning of it all. Do you have any speculation, any theories, anything?
I ain't even finna try to work my brain to come up with a speculation.
Okay. But I kind of feel the same way. Let me think. Do you think anybody's going to die?
Well, I was surprised, like you said, to see the agent die.
Yeah, they got him
out. I thought Drew was going to be up out of here. But he obviously, you know what I'm saying? Monet'll be here. They're gonna run there. You know, I think a lot of people gonna live throughout. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Most of the season, Kane will end up dying in the end. You know what I'm saying? Probably three episodes for the finale and shit.
Okay, go out in a blaze of glory.
You gonna go out like 2 Chainz out here?
Right, yo, Kyrie. Shit, man. I'm trying to think who else might get killed. I think Effie might die.
Yeah, Effie, she torn the line. She might not make it season, mid-season goddamn finale. She, I don't know what, she tripping.
Right. I don't think Monet gonna die. Noma's gonna die.
Her sidekick definitely gonna die.
Yeah, they gonna go out.
He out of here. She might kill
I don't know
him.
Who?
Noma's sidekick.
Might kill who?
He gonna get killed.
Oh, yeah. He might, yeah.
She might kill him. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. She seemed like she a little tired of him. But he like that. He like that.
He tried to shoot his shot, though. He tried to shoot his shot in this motherfucker. She like, nigga, think with your other head, fool.
Right. But I'm thinking, I feel like they might have jumped off before.
Nah.
You don't think so?
I think he just tried to. He thought he caught out a moment of vulnerability and shit.
Oh, shit. What do y'all think? Let us know in the comments if you got any theories, any speculation, what you're excited for. Who's your favorite character? Has it jumped the shark? Any of that. We back. It's Power, Book 2, Ghost. It's in the conversation. You already know what it is. Let me say this. June 22nd, Grantville, Pennsylvania. I'll be at the what is it called? Damn. I'm being Grantville, Pennsylvania. It's on DamianLemon.com. Damn, I can't think of the name of the venue, but the 29th, I'll be at Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie, New York. That's June 29th. I'll be in Poughkeepsie. June 22nd, I'll be in Grantville, PA. Laughing Stock Comedy Club is the place out in Grantville, Pennsylvania. If you're near that area, I think Baltimore's close. Come on out. We're going to have a good time. June 29th. Told you I'm going to be at Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie. Come on out. That's going to be a good time. And then in the end of August, I'll be at the Comedy Slash Bar in Seattle, Washington, August 30th through the 31st. Tickets are still available, DamianLemon.com. Y'all check that out. Muhammad, you got anything you want to say?
Man, I'll be here next week, hopefully. Well, thank y'all for showing up. I appreciate being here. And, here we are.
There you go. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
Even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.